Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the service thus far. We praise Thee for the wonderful hymns that we have been singing. Thank Thee, we have a God who has promised to guide us with His eye. Praise Thee, O Lord, for one who is able to reveal to us the things of God in His Word by His Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, this morning as we meet around Thy precious Word, that Thou will bless our hearts and thrill our souls. Pray, Lord, that God's people will be spoken to this morning. Encourage us, Lord, as we walk the road to glory. Lord, we acknowledge that it's not an easy road, but we thank Thee and praise Thee that much help and grace and comfort is offered by the Saviour. And we thank You, O Lord, we can overcome every obstacle and victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll speak to those who are cold this morning. We pray, Lord, You'll reveal unto them what they need to repent of and turn from, that they might renew fellowship with Thee. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou lovest the backslider. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou art married to the backslider. And we pray, Lord, You restore such in this meeting and the fellowship with Thee today. Speak to the unsaved, we pray. Oh, Lord, I pray You'll not allow them to be content to sit in their sin, but I pray, Lord, that You'll shake them, Lord, this morning in their seats. Make them uncomfortable in the house and presence of God. I pray, Lord, You'll show to them their end. And we pray You'll cause them to come to Calvary and plead for repentance. We thank Thee there's mercy with God. We thank You, Lord, You can save in this meeting this morning. We thank Thee that Thou art the one who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we pray by Your Spirit You'll do so this morning. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll leave this meeting in Thy hands. We do continue to remember those who can't be here this morning. Bless those, Lord, who would love to be in the house of God, and yet they're in hospital. We pray, Lord, You'll be Thy portion unto them this morning. Pray, Lord, that You'll just bless them and comfort them with words which only Thou canst give. We do ask, O Lord, that You'll abide with us now and help us continue in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. What does the Word of God mean whenever it calls a man blessed? What is that signifying, or what is it telling us? Well, I believe it's telling us that someone who's blessed by God is someone who knows God's peace and God's presence and God's power. I wonder this morning as we sit in God's house at the commencement of this message, are you someone who is blessed by God? Can you say you know the peace of God in your heart? You know the presence of God in your life, and you know the power of God in service? You know, everyone's searching for blessing, for happiness and contentment in life. There's a pursuit to reach that moment in life whenever you can say, well, I've made it. I've reached my goal. I'm happy. Now, some people will suppose that will be in securing a particular job or place of employment. For others, it will be raising a family or financing a bank account for security and pleasure. For others, traveling around the world to see all the different things this world has to offer. But no matter what you achieve or gain or gather throughout your life, it will never be enough to bring true happiness, contentment, joy, or peace. There will always be a desire for more and different things. One of the old Bible commentators notes that the human heart, naturally speaking, is so perverted and so wayward that it seeks happiness where it cannot be found. And that describes the sinner today. He's seeking happiness and contentment in the sins of this life, and you know it's impossible to find happiness and peace and contentment in sin. But praise the Lord, the Bible tells us that there is a place where this can be found. There's a place where peace and joy and true blessing that fully satisfies can be found. And it's found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone knows sin's forgiven, sin's washed away, when he begins to live as a spiritual being, living for things that are not of this world, but living for heaven and living for the glory of God. Those who are saved and serving the Savior are truly satisfied in Him. Now, yes, there are times in our lives when we desire more holiness and more zeal and more fruitfulness in our labours and in our endeavours. But standing back and viewing our lives and our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true child of God can say, in Christ, I'm content. In Christ, I am truly satisfied. And the Word of God comes and presents to us how it is that we can know this peace, joy, and contentment, God's peace, God's power, and God's presence in our lives. And it says here in verse number 1, blessed is the man. Now notice it calls the person the man. It doesn't say blessed as a minister. It doesn't say blessed as a Sunday school teacher or the missionary, although they're all included in this word. But it's possible for you, no matter who you are, no matter what your age or your status in life, to know the blessing of God. You can be rich or poor and yet know the blessing of God. Master or servant and know the blessing of God. A child, a pupil at school, a teenager, a young parent, middle-aged or senior citizen. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. If you're saved, you can know the blessing and the power of the Lord. This psalm presents to us a description of the saved and godly man, and therefore I want us to think on that theme this morning, the godly man or the godly woman. In verse number 1, we have the wisdom of the godly man. The wisdom of the godly man. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, a few weeks ago, I spoke on hindrances to progression in the life of the child of God. We thought about looking back to the past with fond affection. We thought about not looking to the Saviour in times of difficulty. Now, that wasn't an exhaustive study. There are many different things that can hinder our progression. But here's another one that the Holy Spirit gives to us in the form of a statement. If you're to know God's blessing and enjoy His salvation, then there are certain things you cannot do as a child of God. And they're presented to us here. The man is blessed that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And if you're a believer in this meeting this morning, then there are three things that the Lord is saying very clearly that you ought not to do. Three actions that you must not participate in. This is wisdom in your walk with God. Now, the first one is this. We're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the word walk in Scripture signifies your journeying through life. It denotes a way of life. Now, the child of God is to walk in paths of righteousness, led by the good shepherd. And it says here that you're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the word counsel means advice. You're not to hearken to the advice and conduct your life listening to the advice of ungodly people. Now, the word ungodly there literally means someone who's a sinner, someone who is morally wrong, someone who's not saved. Now, they may have good intentions. And as they give you advice, they may have a good intention at heart, but they don't have a correct focus. They don't have good wisdom. It's not profitable for you to follow ungodly advice. Psalm 15 asks the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. He that walketh uprightly, not in the ways of the world, not according to the advice of the world, but he that walketh uprightly. You know, this world has much advice on how to live your life. You go to a bookshop and look at the self-help section, and you'll find a book for every single thing. How to plan your finances, how to raise your children, how to do all these different and various things. But nowhere in the world will you find a book that will tell you how to live a godly life, how to be right with God, how to live in a manner that pleases and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, how to deal with the problem of your sin. There's no book for that apart from the revelation of God's precious word. And if you're going to live in a manner that honors the Lord, if you're going to live God's way, then you must live by the word of God. You see, the world, and when we speak about the world, we're talking about its system, its purposes, and its plans. It's not of God. And it doesn't encourage the child of God to be holy. It doesn't encourage him in his walk with God. Therefore, it's not for the Christian to seek counsel or the advice of the world in relation to their day-to-day living. God has given us his counsel. God has given us his wisdom. One old Bible commentator said, the godly man does not follow the advice of sinners. He does not execute the purposes or plans of sinners, and he does not frame his life according to their views and their suggestions. But secondly, notice it says that they do not stand in the way of sinners. Now, the man here is pictured not walking anymore, but he's standing. And that word stand means to continue with, to dwell with, to tarry alongside. He's not just getting advice now, but he's spending time here. It says, he does not stand in the way. Now, of course, again, that's speaking of the course of life. The course of life that you will walk in your way as you travel down here towards eternity. The word sinner there means more than someone who's just not saved, but it means more than that. It means someone who's actively sinning against God. Someone who is sinful against God. Someone whose actions are outwardly sinful. And here we have a further thought. This man who was once listening to the counsel of the ungodly and has taken their advice is now standing among the ungodly. And not only is he standing among the ungodly, he is standing in the place where sin is abounding. And the thought here is that he desires to be here. He now desires to be associated with these sinners, to dwell with them and to live his life after this manner. But God's word makes it very clear, the friend of God cannot be a friend of the world. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have a foot in the world and a foot in the camp of salvation. God desires to save his people from sin, from sinful practices. And not only that, but we find that in the third place, the man is found to be sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, that word sitting is a very interesting word because it actually means to dwell, to establish, to inhabit, but it also means to marry. In other words, he is living with the sinners now. His life is being conducted alongside the sinners. He's joined himself to sinners. And it says here, he sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that word scornful speaks about those who make a mock at the gospel. Make a mock at the Lord Jesus Christ, who openly defy and scorn Christ and the gospel. Now do you notice his slowing down and the hindrance in his walk? You see, the word of God tells us very carefully that the command of God is to go forward. The command of God to the child of God is to move forward. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And here we see that instead of running and making progress, the man has started to walk, and then he started to stand, and now he's sitting among the sinful. What's the thought here? The thought here is this, that it is one little sin that leads to another. One little sin leads to another. He just heeded the advice, but now he's sitting among the ungodly, among those who don't love the Lord, among those who scorn the Lord. He's settled in his way. Is it not God's word that tells us that the little foxes, it's they that spoil the vine? And men and women, if you're saved in this meeting this morning, young people, if you're saved in this meeting this morning, the thought is this, don't even start listening to the ungodly. Don't even take their advice, because one thing will lead to another, lest you be found with your heart cold toward God. Keep your heart right in all its ways. Take counsel with what you watch. Take counsel with those whom you meet. Take counsel with the things that you listen to, with the things that you read, that you might keep your heart, that the ungodly counsel of the world will not influence you and affect you and cause you to go down and down and down. For that's where the world will take you, sinner. It'll take you, or Christian, it will take you down. Down in your witness, down in your power, down in your testimony. That's what the world will do for you. He takes advice from the unsaved, then he walks with those who are openly sinful, and then he's found sitting in a place. And the implication of this verse is this, he's passive and says nothing in defense of his Savior whenever others are scorning the Lord. What a position for the child of God to get to be able to sit comfortably with those who openly defy the Lord. It's only a few steps, isn't it? Any of us could be there, and that's why we must guard our heart. That's why we must keep our heart. How quickly one sin leads to another. You know, as I read that, I thought of Peter. Peter came to my mind, and if you turn over to Luke's Gospel and chapter number 22, you'll find that just as the Lord Jesus Christ was being taken away into Pilate's hall, we'll find in chapter 22 of Luke's Gospel in verse number 54 that they took Jesus and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And here we find something that Peter did. Peter followed afar off. Peter wasn't going with the Savior. Peter followed afar off. He wasn't willing to stand with the Lord. He wasn't willing to go. And what happens whenever you start following afar off? then you started a downward progression. Because not only did he start following afar off, look at the verse, next verse, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And here he is sitting among the ungodly, sitting among those who warmed their hands in the fires of the world. And it isn't revealed in Luke's gospel, but if you turn to Mark's gospel, chapter 14 and verses number 67, you'll find something else that he did. Because a maid saw him and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And Peter denied it again. And after a little, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereunto." But he began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." Now here was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It started because his walk wasn't right. He wasn't walking close to the Lord. And the next thing, he's sitting down among the ungodly. And the next thing, what happens? His speech is filled with the speech of the world. He cursed. He denied the Savior. The one who was traveling to Calvary. The one who was going to shed his life's blood. The one who was the only Savior of mankind. Here he is cursing him and swearing about him. Why? Because he didn't stick close to the Savior. He didn't abide with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord gives instruction that we are to walk with the Lord. We're to walk with his people, with people who are good, with people who are godly, with people who are spiritual, with people who are holy. You know, Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Godly men and women meeting together and fellowshipping together will encourage each other and spur each other on to holiness. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And if you walk with wise men, you become wise, you'll become like them. You walk with godly men, you become wise, you become godly. I thank God for the friends he's given me, the encouragement they've been to my heart and to my soul, those with whom we can pray and we can serve and we can talk about the things of God. We become like those with whom we associate. But note that in this portion of God's word, while godly friends are good, and godly friends are to be protected and loved and guarded because they're a precious gift from God, it is not to godly friends that the Holy Spirit points us in this verse. It's to Jesus, the friend of sinners. Because in verse number 2, we're brought to the purpose of the godly man. For it says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You see, while godly friends are good, we're pointed to Scripture. And that's the law of God. What is the law of God? It's all about one theme, and it's all about one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's revelation of himself to man. It's all about God. I was reading a book this week, and this little part came up into it, and I thought this was wonderful. It says, "We trust in human friends, and the comfort is very sweet, yet we can never forget that they are but a creature of the day, and that we cannot be sure of having them even for tomorrow. But we trust in Christ and know that from eternity to eternity he is the same. And therefore our confidence can be very strong and can be very sure." You see, friends are good. We praise the Lord for them. But there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that's above all others. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's someone who is needs someone whom we need to be walking with. And the word of God says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." As someone meditates and delights in the word of God, he will continually be seeing Christ. He will be continually walking with Christ. And as he sees Christ and he walks with Christ, he will become like him. You know, the word of God is a pleasure for those who walk in a godly manner. If you're walking with Christ and you're right with Christ, it's a pleasure to open the Word, to allow Christ to speak to you, because you know there'll be encouragement in the Word. But if you are not walking in a godly manner, if you're walking after ungodly counsel, it's not a pleasure for you to open the Word. And you know why? Because when you read God's Word, the Lord will put his finger upon your waywardness and upon your sin. That's why so often when you go cold in the heart, the first thing you don't want to do is open God's Word, because you know God will speak to you. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. How do we glorify God? We glorify God when we reflect Him in our lives. And when a believer walks in obedience and in the paths of righteousness, then he or she brings glory to the name of the Lord. You know, friend, it doesn't matter how long you're saved. You might only be saved a week, a month, a year. You might be saved 50 years. It doesn't matter how long you're saved. You, right now, today, can bring glory to God by your life if you will live in obedience to Him. There's no time scale to this. No matter how long you're saved, you pray that the Lord will help you to glorify Him. And we know that that's done when we become like our Savior, when we come into conformity with His Word. The Lord's people will delight in the Word. And it says here, He will delight in the law of God, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Notice the frequency that the man comes to the Word of God, day and night. And that's speaking about 24/7. The Word is the focus. The Word is a thing that rules his life, at work and at home, in public worship and in private worship, when you're on your vacation, wherever you're at, day and night. God's Word is your rule of faith and practice. When He gives you a verse and you mull over it by day, whenever you live your life according to His Word, that is what it means to meditate in the Word, to think over the words of Christ. And as you do so, your mind will be cleansed by the water of the Word. You'll be led into paths of righteousness. Your life will be purified. And such behavior brings blessing. And such living brings much blessing. When you delight in something, you're taken up with it. When you delight in something, it affects every area of your life. You tell others about it. You can't hold it in. And how often it has to be said that we fail to speak of the Savior. And perhaps that's because we're not delighted in His Word and His way because we're not walking in it. But if you're walking with Christ, you'll not be able to hide it. If your delight is the Savior, oh, that will radiate from your life. What happens when someone obeys God's Word? What happens when someone is taken up with Christ in His Word? Well, we find in verse number 3, and here we come to the evidences of the godly man. You see, there's results for going through with God. There are results that will be evidence in your life and in my life. And it says here, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Firstly, here we see stability. There'll be stability in the life of the child of God who's walking with the Savior. The imagery here is of a tree with deep roots and a continual supply of water from the river. And when the winds of adversity blow, that tree isn't moved because it's got a stability, it's grounded. And that's speaking of the Christian. Because Jeremiah reminds us, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and in whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. You know, in this world we will face the winds of trouble and sorrow. Difficulties will come into our life and the wind will sweep up so quickly and take us off guard. And if you're saved, there's a stability there. You're able to rely upon one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're able to rest in a God who says, as for God, his way is perfect. You're able to depend on one who is in sovereign control over all things. If you're trusting in the Lord, then you'll be stable whenever difficulties come. If you're trusting in the Lord, you'll also be stable when the winds of false doctrine come. Because we're talking about winds of false doctrine over there in Ephesians. Not being blown about to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And there are times, and we're not immune from it in this church, but in every church there are times whenever false teachings come. And false notions come, things that are perversions of the Scripture, perversions of truth. And if you're not grounded in the Word of God, then you'll not know what God's Word has to say. You'll take for granted that what the person says in the pulpit is true. That's why we say to you, get the Word open. Does God's Word say what we say? Don't take our word for it, but come to God's Word and see what the Spirit would have to say to your soul. And when you're grounded in the Word, and you know the doctrines of truth, and you know what's right and you know what's wrong, you'll identify false teaching. You'll identify false doctrine. It won't sit well with your heart. The Holy Spirit will bring a conviction upon your conscience and upon your soul that there's something not right here. And that's why it's important for God's people to be grounded in the Word, not only to stand in the winds of adversity, but to stand in the winds of false doctrine. And in this day and age, whenever churches are rising and springing up all over the place and everything in the name of the Lord, we need to be very sure what God's teaching is, because it's very easy to be deceived. But praise God, there's stability when we're walking with the Lord. There's not only that, but there's fruitfulness, because it says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. God has made his people, God's people, Christians, believers, to be fruitful, to bring forth fruit. This is a picture given in Scripture when the Lord said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now when you're living with Christ, praise God, you can do all things. But without him, you can do nothing. What fruits are we to bring forth? And what are the fruits of a life that is lived walking hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, of course, I believe that the Lord expects the fruit of the Spirit. We studied that just about a year ago in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. But I believe not only that, the Lord also expects the fruit of soul winning in our lives, in the life of every believer. In this meeting, you're to be a soul winner. What does that mean? Well, I believe that means, although you may not preach a message ever in a pulpit, you can be one who prays for souls, and that's a soul winner. You may be one who brings people to God's house, and that's a soul winner. Praise the Lord, a few weeks ago we sat in the prayer meeting, we had a focus on children, and we prayed that the Lord would work in our children's meetings. And the following, the Lord saved. There were soul winners there in that meeting, because we were praying and we were broken for the children that we reach with the gospel. There are people in this congregation. And last year, at the command of the Lord, they went and they invited men and women out to this house. And they brought them to hear the gospel. And the Lord saved them. There are those who have won the soul winner's crown already in this gathering. And we praise God for that. And every person can be a soul winner. You might just be a boy or girl in this meeting, but if you're saved, you can win souls for the Lord. You can pray for your loved ones. Pray for your unsaved friends. Bring them to the place where they'll hear the gospel. Would God have you to stop now that you've seen one soul win? No. He'd have you go on and get more into the house of God, those who need to hear the gospel. There's stability and there's fruitfulness, but praise God, there's also prosperity. It says, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, a man who is bringing forth spiritual fruit will be able to enter into eternity bringing that fruit with him. Now, you'll not be able to bring your money with you, or your checkbook, or your house, or your car. Those things don't translate into eternity. But fruit does. Spiritual fruit does. Laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You see, things that are done in Jesus' name are eternal things. Your works are eternal works if they're done for the Lord, and they're done in the Lord's name, and they will be rewarded in heaven. I know I was thinking about that, and this came to me, that an ungodly man can amass a fortune of billions of pounds and yet lose his soul in hell. And yet a little child who really is nothing financial in this world can give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and know an eternal reward. Now, who's greater in the eyes of the world? The billionaire or the child? My friend, it doesn't matter whose work lasts for eternity. What's greater in the eyes of God? Who's going to receive the reward? When we do things in Jesus' name, they will prosper. Praise the Lord, the works go before the saints. And the Lord will reward diligently each one for their faithfulness. Let me ask you a question. Child of God, is your life marked by stability? Do you stand firm? Do you stand strong? Is your life marked by fruitfulness? Is it marked by prosperity? Are you going to heaven bringing souls with you? Have you been out trying to seek the lost of this community for the Saviour? We're coming up to a mission. Time of mission in Castle Dawes and the will of the Lord 4 weeks today. Have you started praying for those whom you'll bring? Have you started bringing them before the Lord diligently, faithfully, that when you go to them, the Lord will work in their heart and they'll come? Friend, I trust and pray that this year God's people in this church will be stable and that they'll be fruitful and they'll be prosperous. In other words, what I'm saying, I'm praying that they'll be grounded in the Word. Because when you're grounded in the Word and you're walking with the Lord, those things will follow. But in verses 4 through to verse number 6, we have the contrast of the godly man with the ungodly man. There are two men now mentioned here. We've seen what it means to be godly. It's to walk with the Lord. It's to be separated from the world. It's to be in the Word. It's to be working for Him. But it says here in verse number 4 that the ungodly are not so. Friend, if you're not saved in this meeting this morning, the Word of God tells us that you are not stable, you are not fruitful, and you are not prosperous. You see, instead of stability in Christ, there's instability in your sin. You're living on sinking sands. Instead of fruitfulness, there's emptiness. You've nothing to offer to God. Instead of prosperity, there's loss, because all you gain will be left behind whenever you go into eternity. And in verse number 4, we're reminded here that there's a contrast between the godly and the ungodly in life. It says, they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And that's what's happening to many people around this world today. The winds come. The winds of difficulty come. The winds of adversity come. And they're just blown about like a rag doll. No stability, no hope, no contentment, no security, no foundation. Friends, is that your life this morning? The Lord is the only foundation to build your life upon. He's the sure foundation. He's the true foundation. But I want you to notice that not only is there a contrast in life, but there's a contrast in death. Because whenever we come to verse number 5, it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. How you live in this life is how you die. If you live with instability, in sin and without the Savior, you'll die with instability and in your sin and without the Savior. You see, the greatest wind that will ever blow will be the wind of the judgment of God. That is the greatest wind. And when that wind blows, the Word of God tells us that the ungodly will be driven away. The Word of God tells us that the ungodly will be driven away into hell. That's the end. The Bible says the ungodly shall not stand. It says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. On that day, there's going to be a division. There's going to be a division. Now that division, let me say clearly, is not between Protestants and Roman Catholics. That's not how we'll be divided in that day. Nor will it be between Free Presbyterians and those who are not Free Presbyterians. That's not how you're divided. Not if you're in a loyal order or if you're not in one. Friend, here's how you're divided on that day. The godly will go to one side and the ungodly to another. How you stand before Christ? Where will you be? The saved and the lost? And judgment brings us through unto God's eternity, because it says in verse number 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I believe in this verse we have two of the most powerful statements in all of Scripture. One for the child of God, that ought to bring him much comfort and contentment. And friend, one for the unsaved, that ought to make you tremble in your seat this morning. Firstly, we have a statement about the eternity of the child of God. It says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. That's a precious thing and that's a special thing. Do you know if you're saved this morning, you were known to God before this world began? Your name was mentioned in eternity, in the great covenant plan of redemption. The Lord knew all about you the day you would be born, the day you would be saved, the day you'll die, the day you'll go to be with Him in glory. It's interesting to notice that the first time the Lord says, I know in Scripture, He's speaking about one of His children, for He says in Genesis, for I know him. I know him. Who's He speaking of? He's speaking of Abraham. He says, I know him. And because the Lord knew Abraham and knew him in salvation, the Lord blessed Abraham mightily. The Lord knew him. Whenever we come into the middle of the Old Testament, we find these words. And we were teaching them to the boys and girls in the primary school meeting in Muckerfelt this past year on Tuesday mornings. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. The Lord knows all about you. The Lord knows the plans he has for his children, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm explaining to the children that word thoughts can mean plans. And therefore you could say, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. He knows us in every circumstance. I was saying last week in the Bible class, the Lord, even before eternity began, knew all about Calvary Free Presbyterian Church. When it be raised, the people who would come here, the difficulties and the trials they would face. The Lord knows everything. The Lord knows his people. And not only is a knowledge of God just a knowing of what's going to happen, but in his knowledge there's also provision for what's going to happen. When he died upon the cross of Calvary, he died to purchase every grace and gift and mercy and strength that we would need as God's people, because he knows what we're going to have to face. And praise the Lord when we say God knows, that ought to thrill you. Maybe you're anxious about 2012. Maybe you're anxious about the hospital test you have to go for. You're anxious about your family. You're anxious about your health. Whatever it is, here's something that we can say with full assurance. God knows. God knows. And therefore, not only does he know, but God will provide according to his knowledge. But it's interesting that there's another time, and it's the first time the Lord says, I know, in the New Testament. And it's the time whenever the bridegroom came, and the other virgins who had gone to get oil in their lamp came, and they knocked the door, and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. And that brings us to our last statement, because it says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean you'll end in annihilation. It doesn't mean you'll cease to exist. No, but rather your soul will go into the place of eternal judgment, the place that's called hell. If you're not saved this morning in this meeting, should it be that the Lord would cause your heart to stop beating this second, it would mean you go into eternity, into hell, under the wrath and condemnation of a holy God. You see, God's people are blessed, and we can say hallelujah. But the people who are not of God, those who are ungodly, the Word of God tells us that rather than being blessed, they're the opposite, they're under the curse of God. What's the opposite of blessing? It's cursing. Blessed are ye, said the Lord, but cursed are ye if you're not saved in this meeting this morning. Your friend, it doesn't say the type of person that will go in. Doesn't say if he's old or young, man or woman, boy or girl. Doesn't say if they're rich or poor, if they reach the heights of this world's fame or if they are known. It just says this, they're ungodly. That's what marks them. The way of the ungodly shall perish. And therefore, this morning, at the conclusion of this meeting, as God's people meet around this communion table, and we partake of the wine that symbolizes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the bread which reminds us of the body, and we're in this place this morning and we're throwing our minds back by the eye of faith to Calvary to thank the Lord for the cross, because that's why we're here this morning, because of the cross, because of grace, because of the mercy of God. Friend, as you walk out of here this morning and leave God's people behind, if you're not saved in this meeting, I beg you in Jesus' name, don't be content to leave this house until you're right with God. Don't turn your back on this table that shows us the picture of the cross, and continue on that path which the Word of God says is going to lead you to a place where you shall perish. Because there is a Savior who truly saves. And there's a Savior who truly satisfies. And the Word of God tells us that he led them forth by the right way. Will you follow his way this morning? Word of God tells us that he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He can restore your soul this morning. He can lead you in the paths of righteousness. Say, as this is our God forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. Friend, can you leave this house this morning saying that I know my Redeemer. Do you know him this morning? I trust and pray that you'll consider this psalm. You look at the great blessing of the child of God. You look at the perilous end of the ungodly. And I trust and pray you'll cry unto him for mercy. you want to speak to us this morning, we'll go to the door, and if you want to speak to us, we'll take you around to your room and show you how you can be saved. Friend, I beg you in Jesus' name, don't leave under the curse of God this morning. But rather leave as a blessed man, the blessed woman, the blessed boy, the blessed girl, knowing Christ as your Redeemer and as your Saviour.